الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على نبيه المصطفى أما بعد. This is a continuation of my talk from 2 weeks ago where I discussed about accountability. Mentioned about accountability. And the reason why I'm doing this is that there are approximately 7 weeks left to Ramadan. Around 7 weeks until Ramadan. Even last year when I was an imam in Canada, we had a road to Ramadan series. So the weeks preceding Ramadan, discuss the things that, how do we prepare? There's one narration, although slightly weak, then it's, and whatever I mentioned that you can act upon it, no problem in this one is, that there's a dua that's mentioned that, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. Oh Allah, bless us during the month of Rajab and Sha'ban, and allow us to reach Ramadan. And we're currently in the month of Rajab. To the degree that scholars of the past, when they saw that, when they gained certainty that we're not going to reach Ramadan, meaning they fell ill, they became weak, and they knew that their time was approaching, the time of death was approaching. Certain pious individuals, they just know that their time is approaching. So as they knew their time was approaching, they just made dua to Allah, oh Allah, grant me death in Rajab. Because they knew they couldn't get Ramadan. So they would make dua that Allah, amitna fi Rajab, give us death within Rajab. And the actual reports of them passing away in the month of Rajab. So in this, in the last talk I mentioned about muhasabah, that at night a person, أَن يَتِصَفَّحَ الْإِنسَانُ فِي اللَّيْلِ مَا صَدَرَ مِنْ أَفْعَالِ نَهَارِ. That at night he thinks to himself, that what have I done during the day? What have I done? And we take account of our deeds. That I did this, was it correct? If it wasn't correct, then I do tawbah. So today I want to talk about certain elements of repentance. Now, we often hear about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we know in Islam how great the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is within our religion. We know that. And we make it complex. We complicate tawbah. Tawbah is simply three or four things. Three or four. Number one, that a person is remorseful, he's regretful over his actions. Two, that the person actually does istighfar, and he makes an intention not to repeat his actions. That is tawbah. And if you want to remember it, a simple way they mention it is the four R's. If you join the community group, I'll put it on the reminder group, the four R's. Number one, remorse. Number two, repent. Number three, resolve. And number four, repair. So number one, remorse. Feeling guilty over the action. You can't do tawbah whilst not feeling guilty of an action. You don't recognize what you've done is wrong. You need to be remorseful. I've done something, I shouldn't have done this. I swore as such an individual, I'm remorseful over this. I committed a sin, I shouldn't have committed this. Number one, remorse. Number two, repent, astaghfirullah, doing tawbah. Say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, I'm seeking your forgiveness. Tawbah and istighfar are two different things anyway. But number two, repent. So number one was remorse. Number two, repent. Number three, resolve. Make a resolution. That Allah ya'uda ilayhi abada, that you won't repeat the action. Resolve. And number four, this is the fourth R, is repair. So there are two types of rights, huququllah and huququl ibad, the rights of Allah. If we've wronged Allah, if we've done a sin, then those are the three conditions already mentioned. But the fourth one is, if we've wronged somebody else, huququl ibad, then the person needs to repair. If somebody's stolen wealth or something, the person needs to go and repair that by returning that wealth, etc. Or any other means that a person has taken somebody else's right, he needs to return that right, repair. So remorse, repent, resolve, and repair. And in Islam, measure that Islam is something deep, is profound. That we don't have this, you know, in certain other faiths, even till today, there's this action of, there's a public confession or humiliation where they have to go through some rituals for their repentance to be complete. But there's no, in those, one, it's based on some form of public humiliation. There's always some form of thing that they've got to go to somebody and say that I've done. For example, you'll hear, oh Father, forgive me for I have sinned. You know, certain traditions have that. They still do. In Islam, our relationship is such with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it's between فِيمَا بَيْنَ الْعَبْدِ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ. It's between a servant and his creator. It's profound. It's deep. And what the difference in Islam and other faiths is that sincerity is central. In these other ones, humiliation or public confession is what's central. It's the central theme. But in Islam, it's sincerity. Is a person sincere? Has he fulfilled these conditions? If so, his tawbah is accepted. That's how Islam, and Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, he talks about this, and he says, you know, tawbah and istighfar is such a thing that if a person turns away from it, he distances himself from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember this, tawbah and istighfar creates humility within an individual. To recognize you've done wrong and to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing that you are humble and you are submissive in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is one of the reasons why amongst the reasons why shaitan will prevent an individual from doing tawbah is that every time a person does tawbah, كَانَ نُكْتَةٌ سَوْدَاءُ فِي قَلْبِهِ A black dot appears upon the heart, till the point that the entire heart is blackened. Then the person finds it difficult to do tawbah and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the moment that person takes that first step is the moment that سُقِلَ قَلْبُهُ, his heart is beginning to become clean, is becoming pure. And the moment it becomes pure is the moment he begins to enjoy his ibadat. Until that point, connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not impossible, it becomes difficult. But the more pure our hearts are, istighfar is the thing that pures, it purifies, it's a cleanser. It's cleaning our heart, and it becomes easier for us to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to address certain barriers. There are six barriers that ulama generally mention about what prevents people from doing tawbah. Number one, trivialization of minor sins. Yes, the scholars have created a taxonomy, they've created like a categorization of minor and major. But in respect to us breaking the grandeur, the magnanimity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're the same in the sense that it's still a sin. Whether minor or major, we need to still do tawbah for our actions. وَمَا قَدْرُ اللَّهَ حَقَ قَدْرِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the disbeliever and he says that they did not give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his due right in terms of his magnanimity. They never recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's right, those individuals. So recognizing whether it's minor or major, I still need to do tawbah. Yes, a major sin is much more problematic. But there are still sins in respect that we are breaking the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recognizing that. Number two, despondency in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an obstacle. That people, remember this, no matter what, our sin can never be greater than the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not possible. لَوْ أَخْطَأْتُمْ حَتَّى تَبْلُغُ خَطَايَاكُمُ السَّمَاءَ ثُمَّ تُبْتُمْ لَتَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ If we sin to the extent that our sins reach the skies, and after that we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He would accept our tawbah. He would accept our tawbah. Never losing hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what I mentioned. That Islam is a deep and a profound connection between a servant and his creator in Islam. To the extent that if a person becomes despondent, meaning he loses hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's not a believer. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that you cannot lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to go towards disbelief. Number three, peer pressure. This is why it's important to have the right friends, the right colleagues. That sometimes you want to do tawbah, you want to change your life, make yourself a better individual. But there are always those people that make those comments. Are you going to become Sufi now, are you? People make those comments. You're playing football. Yeah, I'll give an example. I mentioned that one new Muslim that I had about from a few weeks ago. I asked him that, obviously, who did you see that was practicing? He said, my friends, that whilst we were playing football, they would stop and they would go on the side and they would perform their salah. I never understood what they were doing, but they would do that. But sometimes we've got those friend circle that aren't practicing. And they'll start making sarcastic comments to say, for example, that, oh, you're going to go to the masjid now, are you? Remember this. And the one, even family sometimes, those sarcastic comments made, that you just, there's a barrier for us to make that change in our lives. But one scholar, he mentioned beautifully, and he said, remember this. It's a dog-eat-dog world. Remember this. Not to say that you become distrustful, but it's a dog-eat-dog world. Just remember on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ One person will run from his brother. A father from the son. A husband from the wife from the husband. That's going to be the scenario. So just remember this, that when this person is mocking me today, I know that tomorrow this person is going to run from me anyway. It doesn't make a difference what that person thinks. I was just talking to some of the boys about their haircuts, and I was trying to advocate that don't do certain things. Avoid the skin fade. If you're going to do certain things, keep it at least a minimum of a two, but avoid the skin fade because certain narrations can come upon that meaning. So I was telling them. And then I asked them, so I was just exploring the issue with the boys. And I said, go and explain to me, why is it you want to do it? Other than social conformity, other than the fact that everyone else is doing it at school, tell me what else is it that's making you do it? And I said, there was no other reason other than the fact that everybody else is doing it and we want to fall in with the trend. Look, as believers, we set trends, we don't follow them. understand social conformity. Yes, there's a desire, an innate desire to conform, that everybody else is doing something, you want to follow the crowd. As believers, we are different. And remember this, if that's a barrier for tawbah, just remember the akhirah, remember on that day of judgment, that no matter what, everyone's going to be in for themselves. It's a dog-eat-dog world, just remember that. Number four, being blackmailed and coerced. Generally speaking, this isn't like a, it's not an obstacle for tawbah between a servant and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, somebody's being blackmailed into a relationship to say that, if you do tawbah and you stop, I'll release certain things. Or more likely, that there are certain transactions that have taken place, and you know, if you expose them to say that, no, that we've committed fraudulent activity, we need to go and actually mention to the brother and repair what we've done. And that person says that if you do so, then an individual will be blackmailed. The solution to that is, no matter what, this is indicate the shaytan kana da'ifa, that the plan of shaytan is weak. This is from shaytan, and the plan of shaytan is weak. Keeping that in mind. Another obstacle is the apprehension of denied forgiveness, meaning the fear of rejection. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that fear is not there. In fact, this is an actual, a person should cherish this feeling. Rasulullah mentions, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ يَرَى ذُنُوبَهُ كَأَنَّهُ قَاعِدٌ تَحْتَ جَبَلٍ يَخَافُ أَنْ يَقَعَ عَلَيْهِ. That a believer is such that he sees himself as though he's sitting under a mountain which is about to fall upon him. His sins are to the degree that I'm sat under a mountain. It's a good feeling to have. It means that you will always do tawbah. But do not lose hope. We do tawbah and we have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we remember that I've done wrong things. Remember, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّاءُ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّاءِ التَّوَّابُونَ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. Every person is a sinner. Yet the best of sinners are those that turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To the extent, one narration mentions that if you don't sin, Allah's going to create a nation that sins and they're going to do tawbah. We're going to sin. But recognize that after we sin, we turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the final one is narcissism and egocentrism. That recognize that what I've done is wrong. That's the main, especially living in a society of validation. That everyone's feelings want to be validated. I feel like this and you're entitled to your feelings. Recognize that not every feeling is valid. And in light of Sharia, in light of Islam, that what you've done is wrong. There's no thing that you're entitled to your opinion, I'm entitled to my opinion, I think I'm right, you think you're right. If something is wrong, it's wrong. There's no justification, there's no validation for it. Recognizing what we've done is wrong, especially living in a time of validation and where it's an era of feelings, where everyone feels as though they're entitled to what they've done. And a thought-provoking narration mentions, just imagine this, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to him in the Quran as Thaniya Sunain. He was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet sahabi was taught the dua, Rabbi inni Allahumma inni dhulamtu nafsi dhulman kabira or dhulman kathira wa la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. That at the end of salah, the dua of forgiveness, who was taught the dua? It was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the sahabi who was commanded to lead salah during the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lifetime, was the one who was taught this dua of forgiveness. If this is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, you and I can never be at a position where we think we don't need istighfar. These are six obstacles. How can we practically do these things? Three messages. Number one, remember the four R's. The four R's. Number one, remorse. Over an action, we are remorseful and regretful over what we've done. Number two, repent. Astaghfirullah. Repent. Third R, resolve. Make a resolution not to repeat the action. You can't commit a sin with the intention to repeat, to think your tawbah is accepted. Once you've done something, make that resolution that I'm not going to repeat. If you repeat it, but you never had the intention to repeat, then you do tawbah again. But do not have the intention to repeat a sin. And number four, repair. If we've wronged somebody, seek their forgiveness. That's number one. So the four R's, that's number one. Number two, set targets of 100 times daily istighfar. Before you go to bed, set yourself a target. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. Thinking about what you've done. Remember, this is transformative. It'll create change within you to know what you've done wrong. You're adopting humility to that. And you're saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, I am seeking your forgiveness. And finally, connect yourself to a scholar, anybody local, any senior scholar you have, and local, that you can go to, you can refer to ask your questions. That I did this, was this correct or not? Those are the three messages. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Ameen. Also, there's a, after salah, I mentioned in the ayah, in regards to a program that will be happening.